Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio, Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, welcome back to another gloriously shame-stained instalment of the Confessions podcast from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. What is the colour of a shame stain? That's not a very nice thought, is it? To be stained with shame.
Dripping beige. With shame.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh.
Would it be kind of beige?
Yeah. A little bit gross. Well,
no one wants a brown stain, do they?
Yeah. Would that be the colour of shame, Susan, would you say?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I haven't really thought about it.
Where that was going.
Well, it's kind of an artistic detour.
It is. Mm. That's so true, isn't it? Like freeform jazz.
I know what the colour of money is because Hollywood Beyond told us that.
Yes,
I don't know what the colour is of shame. Mm. If you'd like to help out, confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Anyway.
Well, could it be red because you get embarrassed?
Okay, that's the end of that one then.
Yes,
it's red. Stained with blood.
Yeah. Okay.
Sister Susie is clearly here, stationed in the pub as ever.
I am indeed.
Any customers in yet?
No, we open at 4, like the show.
Okay. That's a little bit annoying, isn't it, really? Brother Matthew, still in the gutter.
Here I am. Morals. Yes.
Untouched by virtue.
Yes. And morals untouched by virtue.
Yes.
Okay. That doesn't work. But anyway, no, carry on. I think
it's in the Bible.
No.
And
doesn't work.
Sister,
sorry.
Sister Holly is from the cupboard du tat.
Yes, that's me.
How is it in the cupboard there?
Cozy and warm and dark.
Okay. Well, later we're going to catch up with your correspondence on the parish notice board, including a dip into the Mark Knopfler section, stories either too disgusting or illegal, which means that they're only good enough to be on this here podcast. Also, you'll get all the confessions from another sinful week on the Drive Time Show, courtesy of Greatest Hits Radio. A family stopover in Singapore at a Fancy Dan hotel turns into chaos with Babs's confession. Hear the band one more time. There's a dead cat, a freeze, and a web of lies in Dad's confession. Cool for cats is cool for cats. Jez's confession, double bogey blues, but not that kind.
Mm-hmm.
But first we start with a real corker from Father Timothy, a pastor who wasn't exactly leading by example and dealing with a busybody in his parish. Here is his confession, slip sliding away.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's has a clerical feel. It comes from Timothy. Thank you, Timothy. Father Simon and his delightful minions, every week my family and I tune in faithfully to your podcast. Okay, we don't tune into a podcast, Timothy. You download a podcast, but maybe they're listening to the radio as well. We often ponder whether the confessions are true or just creative writing exercises. Well, the reason for saying that is because what I'm about to confess to you is really 100% true. And after months of listening to you and the confessions, it really is time for me to confess to your listeners. Let me start by saying that I am genuinely a pastor of a Christian church, and I've changed all the names to protect those involved, as I still have to pastor some of them. Also, I haven't confessed this to my bishop, mostly because she's terrifying and and forgiveness might not be her strong suit.
No. Good, I like it.
That's probably narrowed it down quite a lot already.
Oh, dear.
So here it goes. Being a pastor is a calling, but let me tell you, it's not an easy one. Every church has that one person who seems to exist solely to test our patience. They're the ones who sit by drafty windows and then complain about the cold, or demand modern songs, and when we sing them, only demand the ancient hymns.
Oh, right.
What's going on there?
Mm.
The Apostle Paul might have called them a thorn in his side, but I call them ivy.
Oh.
Ivy was the queen of the Blue Rinse Brigade, a Mrs. Bucket-type character, and every day I prayed for Ivy. I prayed she'd stop being such a thorn in, well, everyone's side, to be honest, and weeks went by and nothing. Months went by, still no change. Not praying very hard, Timothy, or maybe. So I upped my game and started lighting candles for her daily. By month 6, I was practically running a 24-hour vigil. And then came the funeral of a gentleman in our church. It was raining heavily and the graveside was pure mud. Ivy, bless her persistent heart, stayed behind after the service. And as she stood by the grave, slipped and fell in. Now, Father Simon, these graves are deep. And while the coffin cushioned her fall somewhat, I don't think a coffin cushions anything, really.
Oh my God. Ouch.
She definitely landed with a muddy splat. Well, eventually she was rescued, but the Mrs. Bucket image was definitely not there anymore. Mud and water all over her. It was a wonderful sight to see. And she hadn't done any damage to herself, which... So that was all good news.
That's good.
Wow.
Now, fast forward a couple of years and Ivy herself passed away. I know that death is sad, but if I'm honest...
Go on.
My heart threw a little party.
Right.
She caused so much grief to me, my family, the church, and even the local community. And when it came for her funeral, as her pastor, I led the service. But here's the thing. Ivy had told me exactly how she wanted it to go. And Father Simon, I did the complete opposite. I'll admit it, I was fed up. I'd wasted good prayers, candles, and energy on her. The turnout for her funeral spoke volumes. Just me, the undertaker, and her sister showed up. Right. Not a single soul from the church came. It was as if the universe itself was holding a mirror up to her life. I think Timothy thinks he's turned into Charles Dickens at this point. And now, here's the part where I really beg for forgiveness. If you remember when Ivy fell into the grave a few years earlier, and the slip... Well, the slip wasn't entirely accidental.
Oh, no.
Let's just say gravity and a little help.
No.
Now, I have to say, Father Simon, I'm not proud of my actions. I've never done anything like it before or since.
So, just the once, then? Oh, that's okay.
I think once is enough.
So I fall at your feet, beg for forgiveness for Ivy, her sister, and for the handful of candles I wasted in vain. If it helps, I've genuinely tried to live a godly life. Except...
one time.
Except for that one push.
All those other ones, I didn't push them in. Yeah,
I mean,
just one.
I have to say, I think Father Timothy, I mean, I'm... thank you, nice friend. I always think it's good to get clerical confessions, but I have to say, Father Timothy, you're pushing this a long, long way, and I suspect you're going to be struggling a little. For forgiveness, apart from Matt. Sister Susie going first.
Well, I was kind of on Timothy's side here for quite a while because, you know, we get those type of people in the pub and it's, you know, they are annoying. And sometimes you just... But you have to do that inside rather than actually outside.
You mean you don't push them in the grave when you get an opportunity?
Don't push them in a grave. I can't believe he did that. I just... No, she could have hurt herself. No, Timothy. I can't forgive you.
Okay, let's see how Father Timothy does with Brother Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to forgive, but, I mean, it really doesn't matter how many candles you're lighting for someone. If you're then going to push your congregation into an open grave, then it doesn't really matter what else you're doing. Oh, that is super. Yeah. I'm going to forgive because that is the best laugh I've had in a while. Pushing, there are some people I don't particularly like. I'm not going to push them into an open grave.
Well, the wording is, the slip was not entirely accidental.
No.
Let's just say gravity had a little
help. A nudge.
A slight nudge, or maybe with the foot.
Maybe the foot, maybe the...
Wow.
What did you go, Ivy? Oh. No, it is deep down there, isn't it?
How did they get her out?
Well,
I don't really.
Lit a candle.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
So it was very interesting. So she was an annoying person, so we've all met people like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then he pushes her in the grave. Then when she dies, he does the exact opposite for the funeral. So presumably she wanted, I don't know, traditional songs, so she did modern.
Mm-hmm.
Which that takes...
I don't like that bit of it.
No.
I think Pastor Timothy is sort of... I think he's turned to the dark side.
Maybe not cut out for the cloth?
No. Mm-hmm. An eclectic mix on the people's verdict.
Not forgiven, says Cheryl in King's Lynn. We've all had irritating people in our lives, but we don't push them in a grave when the going gets tough. Not impressed with the pastor. Jim, Carol and Kim say Father Timothy absolutely forgiven. We've never laughed so much over confession. The three of us here cried tears of laughter into our chicken wraps. We're now eating prunes as penance. And Laurie in Leeds says forgiven. The father's actions are proof that we're all merely human. Besides, some people don't respond to gentle ecumenical leadership and could really just do with shoving into an open grave.
Okay, well, I think that was an appropriate way to start the week, and also a little nod towards the clergy. Maybe they have other confessions for us, particularly at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, of course, we're going to do our preacher feature on the show on December the 23rd, so clerics of all kinds can get their little mention in there. Before we head back to the confessional booth, it's time to catch up with the new bits and pieces on the notice board. Matt, that's your cue here.
Yes, it is, because we are looking at the five-star reviews that have been left for us on the various platforms. Michael says, five stars. Thanksgiving Day, USA. Being real pilgrims coming from UK in 1995, I am thankful to that large corporation in London for letting you and Brother Matt escape to Greatest Hits Radio. It's great to see you all do so well and bringing so much happiness and laughter to millions around the world.
Right.
Finally, very thankful that to the wonders of technology, I can listen live to Drive Time through my iPhone while driving around the USA.
Wow.
Only recently have I been able to get all of your podcasts and Drive Time show and loving it. Can't quite figure out why Ken Bruce seems to always be on vacation. Happy Thanksgiving to you and all. No tat needed today, says Michael in New Hampshire, USA.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Michael, for getting in touch.
Yeah.
Ken is always busy. If he's not here, he's probably on a Greatest Hits radio cruise.
That's true. Yes.
Or he's recording the TV version of Popmaster.
So true.
So he's always working for the cause.
Mm-hmm. He is.
And then he goes on holiday.
Quite right. Anyway. Craig Parker says, 5 stars, great LOL podcast. Great LOL podcast edit. Well done, Craig. Love listening to this podcast and a great team, though saying that, Sister Susie, what a weirdo, not liking cats. Great. Wow.
Wow.
You don't like cats either, do you? No. I don't mind cats. I can live with them.
They're just sort of cold.
They're sort of world
They've
of their own,
sass.
Aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah, they have. Though I do, as I have said before, I think, I do always say, hello, Professor Dumbledore, when I go past a cat.
Uh-huh.
Just in case.
They are a
It is actually
a
Professor
wizard?
Dumbledore, yes.
Right, okay.
No, Professor Dumbledore wasn't a cat. It was McGonagall.
No, oh, yeah, Professor McGonagall. That's what I said. So long since I've bothered.
They're all wizards.
Yes, that's right. So you see a cat and you say, good morning, Professor McGonagall.
Well, you don't say that.
No, you do, because you don't, because it could
weird.
Be... That she has turned herself into a cat.
Yes, there could be.
That's
could
why
be
dogs are more straightforward.
Yeah, because they're not wizards.
Not professors, you see. Yeah.
Yes.
That's why.
That's clear.
Anyway, Craig says, Sister Susie's gone way down in my estimation, along with all of her negativity. Stay in the gutter, Matt. Otherwise, it's just sick and wrong. Can I have a mug, please? Says Craig. Didn't endear himself to the entire team there, Craig.
No, really. Rude to Susie. Up with Matt. But a nice use of sick and wrong, which is, of course, Sister Holly's catchphrase.
That's true.
Any tack going towards Craig Parker, Great LOL podcast?
No, because he sent a review and we don't give away tat if you send in a review. We love a review. We love a 5-star mm-hmm. review. Obviously, it gets read out. If you want tat, you have to email us. That's a very different thing. confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. And then we will consider it and then maybe send you something.
Yeah. What maybe people should do is do their review and then also like screenshot it and then email that to us with the request for tat. Because obviously
like
we want
it.
Reviews.
Yeah.
And, you know, by doing a really great review, maybe we'll give them a mug, but we need them to email so that we've got a way to contact them to get their address.
We should put all this in terms and conditions.
Yeah, I think there should be a big form people need to fill in.
Yes,
that would be
the
my
bureaucracy
advice.
Of
Absolutely love it.
Still time to confess to your festive fiascos and send them to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. We will be getting to those. What notice do you have there, Suze?
Well, I've got a very topical email from Andrew, and he says, Dear Father Simon, Brother Matt, and the Sisters of Mercy, this email is for the... I can never say this word. How do you say it?
Perusal.
Perusal by your tat cupboard officer this week. As you will no doubt be aware, the Spotify Wrapped list came out, outing everybody who listened to Guilty Pleasures all year long in secret, but also rewarding those with jolly good taste in music and also podcasts. As you can see from the attached screenshot, my podcast list puts you firmly at the top of the list. Not only that, but the podcast from the other place are still very funny and they're still there. Spotify also tells me I listened to 13,087 minutes of podcasts this year, the majority of which were to you.
Thank
plus
you.
Father Simon, you can also see your film podcast is in there too.
Thank you.
A jolly good listen. So my question is, does this loyalty warrant a mug from the tat cupboard? I will leave it to the judgment of your good selves and place myself at your mercy. Thank you for considering me. Andrew Stewart, LTL, FTE, 50 metre swimming badge and accidental goat correspondent.
Okay, so in the top five of the podcasts,
yeah,
there's the Kermit and Mo film thing, Take, which is at five, News Agents at four, the rest is Entertainment at three, then the Confessions podcast that we did back over there.
Which we haven't done for
I know,
how long?
But they're still out there.
Still there. Mm-hmm.
And then our very good Greatest Hits Radio Confessions sitting proudly at the top. So I would say do the turn of tat there to the right.
The turn of tat.
I would say, Holly, that I would think Andrew deserves something.
I think he does, actually. I think it's fantastic. All three feature in the top five. That's pretty good, I think. Would be better if your film pod was third, really, rather than
Oh, that's true. Maybe he doesn't. Yeah.
Those other guys. The rest is entertainment. Like, who?
They don't need
who
it.
Who are those people? Like, what is that? But apart from that, though, it's still fantastic. Really, really great stuff. And yes, I think we'll absolutely send him probably a signed postcard and a mug attached as well.
Nice.
Thank you, Andrew, for getting in touch. Keep your additions to the Parish Notice Board coming. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Couple of mentions go to Marty B, number nine, String of Numbers, Millie 99, Tony, Pam, Douglas, or possibly Pam Douglas, who are amongst the many who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, fish swimming sideways. and that proved that you got to the end of last week's podcast. Matt will have another new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. People stop me and say, does
do
Matt,
they?
Yeah, they say, does Matt work it out beforehand, what the catchphrase is, or is it just spontaneous art?
It's spontaneous art, as indeed everything is with me, art and spontaneous. So, yes, that's how it works.
Okay, I'm sorry I asked you that.
No, let's talk about it more.
Time to head to the Mark Knopfler section where we skim the surface of the dark underbelly of the confessions world. Yes, those who were too seedy and too gross and, as discussed last week, just in some cases illegal as opposed to...
Too illegal.
Yeah. Very, very illegal.
Yeah.
Because you can't be very illegal. You're either illegal or you're legal.
It's so true.
It's binary.
Yeah.
Starting with Ethel. Ethel. Admitting to deliberately baking a special batch of brownies using questionable ingredients for your nosy neighbour's garden party is unforgivable and unbroadcastable, no matter how much of a busybody she was. Also, it wasn't just her, was it? Let's just say all the guests left feeling very relaxed.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Wow.
Those kind of brownies. I've heard about those kind of brownies. Have you heard about them?
I've heard about them.
Yes, I've never partaken because that's not the right way to progress.
No, we certainly won't be talking about that.
If we asked Nigel to do, could you do questionable brownies?
No, let's not. The trouble is, Nigel will. So let's definitely never ask Nigel to do questionable brownies.
It depends what the basis of the question is, though.
The basis of the question.
Yes, in what way are they questionable? It could be that they're questionable because they've got carrots in or something like
that.
No,
that's so
fine.
True.
Then let's definitely ask Nigel to do questionable brownies.
Okay.
I'd just quite like Nigel to do nice, tasty brownies.
Yeah, that's true. Something straightforward without a coolie.
Or fish.
Fish in a brownie.
Fishy brownies. Who wants
fishy
that?
Fishy brownies.
Well, exactly. That would be very questionable,
Heston
wouldn't it?
Heston Blumenthal could do those, but I...
No. Who wants that? No one.
Do you like fish in your brownie?
No. Absolutely not.
Sick and wrong.
Yeah.
Indeed. Also, here's another shocker. Not for broadcast, number two. Sarah, finding out an ex has cheated on you while you were at home, ill, really did add to you feeling rubbish, I am sure. But did you really have to use a bucket instead of the toilet and then throw the contents over his car?
Oh, what?
Even if it was justified, we obviously can't do that kind of thing
on
the radio.
Mm-mm. Also, how's an ex cheating on you? Your ex can't cheat on you, can they? Because they're
I think they probably...
They became an ex. After this incident.
Well, they would do after finding that all over your
before
car.
Before you become an ex, here's a little bit of Yeah. A number one and a number two.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Mm. Understood. Moving
a
on.
Bucket load.
Yeah, thanks.
Bucket load. Also, Nick, you might have been fed up of working in a fast food chain and the customer might have been rude and shouty, but do you really think we'd put a confession on the radio where you added a special sauce to his burger to get him back?
That seems like that's like an urban myth. I don't think that ever happens. I'm going to say.
Susie will be the person who decided that this was inappropriate.
I'm confused as to what it actually is. Well, to be honest,
let's skip.
Let's find out a little bit more. Because a special sauce, you could pay a lot of money for a special sauce, like a nice barbecue sauce.
Yeah, no.
Was it nothing
it
like
wasn't that?
That.
No. No.
Was it? Was it something you could buy in a supermarket?
No.
Was it?
So not a spicy thing.
No, he'd made the sauce himself.
He made the sauce himself. Had he used... Hang on, we need to find this out.
Okay.
So he'd made it himself. Would it have been from ingredients in the kitchen?
No.
Would it have been ingredients which originally began in his body?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So
this is 20 questions to get us to...
So was the special sauce a single ingredient?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And there it is. Yeah. So we've all got it in our heads. No need to explore that avenue.
The dangers of eating food in the wrong place. So Nick, no, sorry. Enough of all that. Time to get back to the confessions that did make the cut. We head to Singapore and the Fancy Dan Palace Hotel. Real name. For Babs's confession. Not a real name. Hear the band one more time.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
This is a U-rated confession.
Oh, is it? That's fine then.
Oh, I like her already.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's very few rough edges, but you might like
no
the
open
images.
Graves. No.
No open graves. Unlike yesterday's Reverend Catastrophe. Father Simon says, Babs, my confession takes place several years ago. Let me set the scene. My husband and I are Brits, but in our late 20s, went travelling the world. We got to Australia and fell in love with the place and decided to make it our home. This meant leaving behind my dear mum, nanny and many friends. Hard work was needed to enable us to make trips home to visit our loved ones. Several years down the line, we were planning another visit. We had done a long haul with a toddler and it was excruciating. Our trip this time was the first with both of our children, Chloe, 6, and James, 3. I therefore had the brilliant idea of stopping over in Singapore on our way back to Australia. Two nights in a hotel would break the long journey and enable all of us to recover from our jet lag and return home happy and refreshed, ready for work, school, and nursery. Well, we had a wonderful time in the UK, introducing James to his great nanny for the first time. Our trip ended all too quickly, and it was time to head for home. But Singapore was waiting. The Fancy Dan Palace Hotel, not its real name, was indeed grand and fancy and full of the most beautiful orchids. Mm. Our corridor was lined with enormous, elaborate, and ancient vases of blue and gold, filled with the most beautiful arrangement of orchids. What could possibly happen? Standing on a luxurious deep blue carpet. Sadly, things didn't go as I'd planned, and we were all at different stages of jet lag, sleeping and wanting to eat at different times. The morning of our departure arrived and things were a little fraught, to say the least. The alarm went off at 3:30 a.m. and the children, who'd been unable to sleep, were of course now dead to the world. Finally, my husband said he would take the cases down to reception, leaving me to bring the children with their backpacks and two bags of hand luggage. We didn't have long and our timing was critical. I finally managed to leave our hotel room with both children and all our bags, telling the children to be as quiet as possible as other lucky guests were still asleep. We proceeded down the corridor towards the lifts. Chloe was skipping along in front, and I looked around, but there was no sign of James. James! I hissed in a loud whisper.
Oh, yes.
Still no sign. Panic was beginning to rise. All thought of sleeping guests passed as I yelled, James! Top of my voice. A cheeky face appeared at ground level, four vases back from behind one of the vast vases. James, come on, we're going to miss our plane. James jumped out from behind the vase, but in his haste, he knocked it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Not only orchids, but the water started to tip, but worse was to come. As the giant vase toppled, I realised to my horror that they were all situated slightly too close to each other, vase one was about to hit vase two.
No, no.
Vase three was about to hit vase four, and so on. An incredible domino effect began to take place before my eyes, and these vases are 5 foot high.
Wow.
Run! I screamed, scooping up James under my arm. Chloe was at the lifts pressing all the buttons as James and I arrived at the doors, and the doors opened and we fell inside. I turned around just as the doors were closing to see a scene of utter devastation. Not only were there broken vases and beautiful orchids strewn across the corridor, but a wave of water was cascading towards us. There was a stunned silence as the lift sped its way down to reception. As the doors opened, my husband was standing there. Where have you... Let's leave, I said.
Yeah.
We boarded the airport transport and headed for our flight home. The children are older now. We have returned several times to the UK, and we have even stopped over once in Singapore, but we have never stayed again at the Fancy Dan Hotel because they know.
Yes, they do.
They do, and their photographs up. Father Sam, I need forgiveness, please, from the hotel management, the guests who probably had water cascading under their doors and interrupted sleep, the cleaners, but mainly the people who spent many hours arranging the beautiful orchids, which we managed quite spectacularly to destroy. But it wasn't me, it was our... very small son. That's right. Blame it on the kids.
Correct.
This is always a very useful thing. I mean, that sounds like very expensive wreckage. As you're checking out of the Fancy Dan Hotel, what do you say to that, Sister Susie?
It does sound like it might have been quite expensive, but who needs a 5 foot vase or more than one of them? I think it's a bit extravagant, isn't it? And I don't know, I should probably not forgive Babs, but she's a mum and she was getting those two kids down to the reception to meet her husband on her own, and I feel for that. She probably needs a medal. Travelling with those two children, she probably needs a medal. And so for that, she's going to get my forgiveness, because I imagine I'll be in a similar situation soon and we'll probably also need forgiveness.
Okay, I mean, I guess Matt's going to be on the case about the 5 foot vase, but it's a bit swanky, but I think it could be very artistic and a beautiful thing.
I'm sure it could be, but it is also a 5 foot vase filled with water and orchids. What's that doing in the middle of a hotel corridor? And not only just one of them, loads of them, and put them next to each other so that when one of them falls over, the whole thing
maybe
goes.
Maybe it's a cultural tradition, it which could you'd be very careful.
Which would be mistaken. But also, I mean, you know, taking kids on holidays, like herding cats, what a nightmare. But we love them all, most of the time. I think really, just because of the vases, Fancy Dan Hotel and the vases, what were they thinking? Hostage of fortune. For that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Something to confess. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It does occur to me, Holly, you might have 5 foot vases at home anyway. That might be like the corridor from your bedroom to the bathroom.
Yeah. Just all of them. Yep, fully filled with many orchids.
Excellent.
All the time.
I just wondered if you didn't. Hope you didn't think we were taking the mickey out of people who knock over large vases.
Mm. Well, yes, it's just smashing lots of ceramics. Really, it was very disappointing. Mm. That
would
confession.
Would you have forgiven or not?
No, I wouldn't have forgiven.
Okay, just checking. Anyway, we always try to. Insist that the confessions are an educational tool, and here is proof.
And Beth says, of course forgiven. Who's providing orchids with more than 50 mil of water anyway? We all know they thrive on neglect.
That is such an interesting fact.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Thriving on neglect has got to be I've got to use that in a book, I think.
Yeah, no, it's very good. Better for me, because I neglect my plants.
Do you?
So, yeah. So they thrive.
Get an orchid then.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What you need.
Yeah.
That's what...
Orchids.
Okay.
If you're
in Matt's family, that's what he needs for Christmas.
An orchid. Mm. Orchid, that would be great.
And they will glorify in their neglect. Mm-hmm. That's the way that goes. Still to come on the Confessions podcast, it's like a scene from a gangster movie with a dead cat in a fridge. In Dad's confession, it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. But first, it's Jez's confession, double bogey blues.
Shh. We won't tell anyone. What's your secret? Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
Dear Father Simon, Matt, Susie, Holly and the team, I hadn't read all the stuff when. Don't read this out. I'm a member of a golf society and we play our golf at a club in the northeast of England. But I often go on trips throughout the UK and every year we have a trip to foreign destinations. Around 2019, we decided a second consecutive trip to Spain was required in March to start the golf season with a bit of Spanish sun. Over the years, various different people had made the trip arrangements, but something always went wrong, and having grown sick of what can only be described as a complete shower being in charge, I decided to take the Spanish bull by the horns and do it myself. Make sure all the future trips were planned and executed to perfection. I'd pretty much perfected my planning and the knowledge that the buffoons I'd travelled with and played golf with would always either forget something or try their best to test my organisational skills. 2019 proved to be one of those occasions. With flights booked, vehicles hired and drivers identified, I made sure everyone knew exactly what the plans were, to the point of making sure everyone had downloaded the flight tickets to the mobile phones with an itinerary that was also sent. On arrival at Newcastle International Airport, I was met by my friend, who we will call Paul. Paul advised me that he'd managed to leave his mobile phone at home, which had his flight tickets attached, and as it was quite early in the morning, his wife and two children were not answering the phone. He also didn't have time to get home and back to pick up his phone in time to get to the flight. Completely unsurprised by this, I pulled from my hand luggage an A4 envelope, which inside had 16 printed flight tickets, as this sort of incident was always expected.
Wow.
As I said earlier, they're all buffoons. Yeah. Paul thanked me for the paper ticket and proceeded through all the relevant security checks and, of course, went straight to the bar. In the morning?
In the morning, yeah.
While sipping on my pint, another friend, who we will call Steve, said to me, "You're not going to let him get away with that, are you? I mean, that's a little mistake. That should be punished." Having given it some thought, I made a decision. And now, as friendly as Paul and I are, all plans made for these trips were done via a Facebook group chat. So I took up my mobile and I asked Steve for Paul's number. The following message was comprised. Should be read in a Spanish accent.
Oh, here we go. Yes, I'm enjoying
it. Hola, Paul. I am really looking forward to seeing you back in beautiful Sukina again this year. The time we spent together last year has been in my thoughts for 12 months. Your loving Maria.
Oh,
you'll
I
notice
say.
I paid particular attention to the Spanish accent.
Yeah, it tailed off a little bit.
Yeah, it did, just a bit. Send that, that'll teach him. We had a little chuckle. No other incidents occurred, and the first full day of golf and banter went beautifully well. Everyone enjoyed the day, and as per my itinerary, we were all to meet at the sports bar in Sukina later that evening. Driving in a taxi towards the sports bar, 5 minutes until our meet time, I heard a voice from the back of a cab say, "Who's that pacing up and down outside the bar?" Another friend said, "That looks like Paul, but I've never seen him that colour before." We exited the taxi and passed Paul, who was, well, can only be described as the colour of a mix between the Incredible Hulk and an angry Oompa Loompa. Going into the bar, I spoke to Paul's brother-in-law, Dave, who was with us, proceeded to tell us that his sister, Jane, had phoned him about half an hour earlier, demanding to speak to Paul. Obviously, he'd left his phone at home.
Yes.
And he had been on the phone to her ever since. I looked at Steve, Steve looked at me, and we both said something along the lines of, "Oh, bothering bother." Around 20 minutes later, Paul, looking like a man who'd done 12 rounds with Anthony Joshua, dragged himself into the bar to sip a flat lager with tears in his eyes. He revealed that a certain message had been sent to his phone. He then outlined that his wife, Jane, had told him not to bother coming home, and her and their daughter were in the process of packing Paul's belongings into boxes to put on the lawn in time for his return.
The lawn?
Now, being the organiser of these trips and the instigator of this incident, I realised pretty quickly that this little prank may now have overstepped the mark. And so, within seconds of hearing Paul's pain, I confessed that the message was sent by me. I also immediately sent another message to Paul's phone outlining that this was indeed sent from me as a prank and that Paul was not actually having an affair with Maria from Sukina. Paul didn't really forgive me immediately, and it's best to say the atmosphere for the rest of the trip was pretty frosty, the snowman, despite the beautiful sunshine.
Yeah.
However, Father Simon, I seek forgiveness for this prank, not from Paul. He was a former rugby player, so told me lots of stories like this. And not from Paul's son, Jason, who I thought may have been upset by hearing this, but approached me soon afterwards by saying, "That was absolute class, that." Forgiveness is, of course, sought from Paul's wife and Paul's daughter. I did take them some flowers on my return, which she then took from me and slammed the door in my face.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Yours, apologetically, Jez. Well, to be honest, Jez, I'm not at all surprised you got a slammed door. But she took the flower, so that's okay.
Sister Susie's
going to take a harsh line on this one, I'm sure.
Yeah, Jez, I just think you got what you deserved, really. I think, you know, I don't like pranks. Pranks aren't very funny. And especially that was horrible. Your husband away on holiday, supposedly with the lads, and you get a text to say he's meeting a lady called Maria in Spain. I'm not surprised this stuff was on the lawn, and I just can't forgive you for what you put that lady through. So not forgiven from me.
That's exactly what we're expecting, but Brother Matthew will probably see another side.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. Let's not forget the real culprit here, and that is Paul for forgetting his phone. Why aren't you planning your journey better, Paul? You should have brought your phone because it had the ticket on it, and if you hadn't done that, then this wouldn't have all happened, and maybe the prank went a little bit too far. But he did buy her flowers, you know, and she then slammed the door in his face, so that's fair enough. So, you know, it all ended well in the end, and they're both still together, and everyone's still good friends. That's very much the vibe I'm taking from this confession. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All, Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Okay, today's comes from Dad. That's how it's signed.
Okay.
It's Dad. Father Simon, I seek your listeners' forgiveness. I have changed names here because I still do not want my daughter to know the truth about what actually happened. Just call me Dad. All right. So it's for something that I did involving our pet cat. Oh, yes, I should say that.
I love it. Yeah.
Probably a 12 certificate, okay. I think.
Oh.
Right. Involving our pet cat, who we'll call Bagpuss, because we changed the name of the cat.
Yeah.
Where my daughter, who we'll call Emily, was coming up to 7 years old. She's now 36 and is still unaware of the lie and deceitful thing that I did. But it was only to protect her feelings then, and if she now found out the truth, I believe my actions may cause her irreparable psychological damage and taint her opinion of the loving, caring, considerate dad that I was actually trying to be.
Okay, yeah.
Stakes are high. So this happened in 1995. I was a single parent, 2 years into the process of a divorce. A relevant point because Emily would spend about three quarters of the week with me, but times and length of stays would vary as I was working shifts, late nights, some earlies, you know how it works. Emily loved our cat, Bagpuss. It was her first pet, and Bagpuss was coming up for about 2 years old. One late shift on a Wednesday, after dropping Emily off at school, I would not be seeing her until the Saturday morning, because I'd be too late to get her. And that Wednesday, I got out of bed, got her ready for school, and she gave Bagpuss a big hug and a kiss and said goodbye to her. I took her off to school, telling her I'd see her on Saturday. Nothing's happened yet.
No, we know what's going, though.
Later that afternoon, I went to work, and I was three quarters of the way through my shift when a message was passed to me. A death message, in fact. A neighbour had found Bagpuss on the pavement outside our house, apparently struck by a car, as we had a very busy road outside. I wasn't far from home, so I was able to get back there straight away to sort the body out. And I was upset as well, Father Simon. I love that cat too, and it was a very sad thing. But at the forefront of my mind, I was picturing an image of poor Emily and her reaction when I would have to break the news to her that her first pet, which she loved unconditionally, was with us no more. Getting home, my neighbour had kindly put Bagpuss on a bit of cloth by my front doorstep. I took her inside. The cat, not the neighbour. She was still fairly warm. Again, that's the cat I'm talking about.
Yes, okay.
As this had only happened half an hour previously, looking at our cat, I couldn't see any visible injuries. Her eyes were shut and she actually looked quite peaceful, almost as if sleeping. It must have been a glancing, if fatal, blow. Rigor mortis had not yet set in, and I wiped a little bit of blood away from the corner of her mouth.
Oh.
She looked unscathed. Being realistic, Bagpuss would start, if I was being realistic, Bagpuss would start decomposing, if not buried very soon. But I couldn't bury her without letting Emily say a last goodbye, which would be part of the healing process, obviously. But I still had to break the news. But I couldn't see her till Saturday. Problem. How could I keep Bagpuss until Saturday? Well, putting my practical head on, the answer was simple. Put her in the fridge.
Of course. Yeah.
So I repositioned Bagpuss, curling her up into a ball with her nose under her paw, the way she always slept. I brushed her fur. She looked just as if she was sleeping peacefully. I carefully slid Bagpuss into a carrier bag, tied a knot in the bag, and then triple bagged it.
Oh, that's okay then.
That's yeah. It's fine.
I then put her in my fridge on the bottom shelf, having to move a few items like butter and cheese out of the way.
That's nice.
And I turned the fridge thermostat dial up a couple of clicks so she would be good for Saturday morning. By the Friday, I also thought of a story to take away some of the pain. On days when I couldn't see Emily, I did ring her to speak to her. It was on Friday evening and I rang for my grub break, and that's when I'm afraid the lies began. To forewarn her, I told her that Bagpuss hadn't been well that morning. She hadn't been eating or drinking and gone to her cat bed, going to sleep, and slept all of the morning and was still sleeping when I went to work. So Saturday morning came, and before getting Emily, I got Bagpuss out of the fridge and I took her out of the carrier bags and popped her into a basket. She still looked like she was curled up, sound asleep, and I then went and got Emily. The first thing she asked, jumping out of the car, was how's Bagpuss, and I was then forced to break the sad news, which Emily was a bit prepared for, but I gave her a hug, telling her another lie. I'd phoned a vet who had told me she's probably eaten something to make her unwell, slug pellets, something like that. We've had a lot of that recently. The vet said there was nothing we could have done with this type of thing, which makes an animal sleepy, and it runs its course and then disappears painlessly in its sleep. Well, when we got home, Emily ran into the kitchen and there was Bagpuss looking like she was just sound asleep, curled and snuggled up in her basket the way she always was. Emily, crying, stroked her and then commented with a start, "Dad, she's really cold." And I said, "Yes, it must have died in the early hours of the morning," and explained that the heating was off. Emily was so sad, but comforted that she'd died peacefully in her sleep. She was still upset, but my plan had worked and the blow had been softened. But the mistake has been lived with for many, many years. We did get another cat with the same markings that lived for 21 years, but I obviously have to seek forgiveness, firstly, most importantly, for lying to Emily and still never having told her the truth. Secondly, for treating Bagpuss in such an undignified way. And lastly, from any friends who came round in the week or so afterwards and ate food and drink out of our fridge without knowing that food and drink had been sharing the space with a dead cat.
Wow. Yes.
Well, you got to tell it how it is. And you've got to... And I think Dad operated with goodness in his heart. And the cat had already passed on. And so therefore he was doing the right thing. And so no one got hurt. Apart from the cat.
But yeah.
Sister Sue's.
Well, like, he didn't do anything wrong. He was, you know, he didn't top the cat. And he just, like, he was trying to be nice. You ate the food in the fridge and other people.
Yeah.
Oh, as much as he was trying to be really nice for his daughter, I just don't think I can. Just don't think I can forgive him, because it's just, what do you do?
One lie and then it escalated, yeah, Brother Matthew.
I'm going to forgive. I mean, Emily, it was the best thing to do with Emily, wasn't it? Because she got to say goodbye to the cat. The cat was already dead, so that's not going to change. Putting the dead cat in the dairy next to each other, probably not a great idea in the fridge. But the good news was at least the heating was off at night. Who puts the heating on at night? No point. Keeping the house warm for the burglars? No idea.
That's an argument you've used before.
Yes,
it
is, I think. And so for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
What if you're just up in the night because it's your age? You don't want to get up to a cold house, do you? You're not leaving the heating on for the burglars. You're leaving the heating on
the off chance that you might get up during the night. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Also, if you keep it just on and just at a low temperature, that's a far more efficient use of energy than having it off and then cranking it all up again.
Yes, I've heard that argument from some people, and I believe they're wrong. So unlucky.
So when you get up in the morning, you get up to a freezing cold house.
Well, yes, I get up. I am embracing the dawn, Holly, when I get up, and loving the fact that it's so cold. And I march up and down around my house saying to everyone, isn't it great that it's so cold? It reminds us of when we were living in caves.
Let's grab a horrible hard towel.
Yes, let's get some hard towels.
With no conditioner and no fabric softener. Right.
Imagine.
Yeah, well, it's all the joy in Matt's house.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely yeah.
So anyway, if the heating is on at night, it's not for the burglars. That's the thing that we've earned, I think. Anyway, Dad's confession received full forgiveness on the People's Verdict, including this one from Vicky, which also included a rather strange confession of her own.
And Vicky in East Barkwith says, forgiven. We've had various animals refrigerated to enable goodbyes to be said. Bagpuss was in three or four bags. Dad was being kind to Emily, who was experiencing her first loss. Incidentally, we have a line of boxed pet ashes in our dining room,
really?
Which some people find a little strange.
Yeah, I think most people would find that.
Yes.
Strange.
Well, I did think that, but then I also have some pet ashes on a bookcase.
Okay, well, you're strange then.
Okay.
Why?
I'm not strange. Well, what else do you do with them?
Do you not scatter them?
Yeah.
On the...
at their favourite place.
Litter, yes. Tray or something? The
On the, yeah, litter tray?
Would you not do that?
The litter,
why,
tray.
And why do you keep... Do you ever sort of just lift up the lid and say hi? Or
no,
you...
it's sealed. Okay. You can't just pop it open. And it's engraved on the top, and it's in a very nice little box.
Oh, it's in a vase, an urn.
No, it's in a box. It's in a wooden box.
Oh, right.
And then sometimes I'll give it a little tap.
Because?
And say, you know, good boy. You know, why not?
Stay.
Well, very good at that.
I have a...
well done.
I have a friend. I don't know if I can tell you this story.
Yes, I yes. think you can. Let's go for it anyway. We've done anything
Nothing
else.
Nothing ever good starts with that sentence.
No, I am
make it very clear. The person you can't be identified.
Well, it does... Okay, I'll tell you the territory that we're in. In this story, it does end up with a horse's head in a carrier bag.
Wow. Okay, well, yeah. I'm going to guess we're not going to be able to put this one in, but go on anyway.
I'm going to have to check with the horse owner. First.
The horse owner?
Yeah, the person who owned the horse.
You don't have to tell us the name of the horse or the owner. Can you tell us that story without telling us the name of the horse owner?
The horse must be anonymous,
good.
Yeah.
The horse has to be anonymous.
Okay.
I think I need to check.
Well, we can come back to that next week.
It makes it sound like it's a mafia story.
It does.
It sound like
very
a mafia
much
story.
Sounds like that, yeah.
Building it right up now.
Okay, I'll give you the full story next week. On Confessions, as an exclusive at this part of the podcast.
Okay.
For people who hang around for the bitter end. Speaking of which, it's time for Matt's secret code phrase for this week.
And the secret code phrase for this week is questionable brownies. That's what we are going to put as our code phrase for the week. Questionable brownies.
Told you it was going to be that.
Send your confessions, please, in time for Christmas. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. If you want to send in that code phrase, please, you can thread me. Mr. Simon Mayo, on Threads, or you can find me on Blue Sky where you post. That's what you do. You don't skeet or tweet or anything. You post on Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Just making terminology absolutely clear.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, don't forget to share the Confessions podcast good news with a friend. Maybe you could gift a subscription to them for Christmas, even though it's free.
It's free, but, you know,
well,
that's
it,
nice.
There is free, but it involves, like, admin of actually doing it. So you could do that admin on the phone for
I care
them.
For you so much, I've clicked here and there on the form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to wash. Anyway, thank you very much, Steve, for listening. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ta.
From the tat cupboard, Sister Holly goes...
See you later, alligator.
From the gutter, Brother Matthew...
Goodbye.
Thank you very much, Steve, for listening. Talk to you shortly.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
It's my Rick Wakeman impression.
Wow.